This morning, I have the privilege of introducing our speakers. For some reason, Martin is in my head, and I said, no, that's not right. But Randall and Linda Freeman, I don't know where Martin came from. It's my nephew's name. Anyway, Martin and Linda Freeman, I'm sorry, are here this morning, and they're here, and they're going to share with us their pastors to missionaries, and they're going to explain more about what that is, but I just met them today and have enjoyed talking with them, and actually found out as we talked, and I said, Randall asked me where I grew up, and I said, well, in Idaho, and he said, well, not Weipe, right? And I said, well, yeah, Weipe. You know, where else in Idaho is there? And so we found out that they had been to our little tiny church where I grew up in Idaho, and while I was there, and now, you know, I don't really remember that. I was a kid at the time and don't remember, but it's kind of, it's a neat thing to say, wow, I meet you for the first time, but you probably saw me. But, you know, I'm not surprised if he didn't remember my name, because he might have thought my name was Sit Down or something like that. But anyway, might not have heard that name back then. Might not have heard Josh. But anyway, Randall and Linda, come on up, and we're just going to let you speak and love to hear what you have to say.
Well, it's a delight to be with you this morning and to have this opportunity just to, say thank you for starters. Thank you for all that you do for reaching our world with the message of Jesus Christ. I noticed back on the bulletin board that you support through prayer and financial giving a number of missionaries, and we thank you for that. We realize that what we do, we could not do it without the faithful prayers and support of those just like yourself. So thank you for that. We are Randall and Linda Freeman. And, you know, as I look at different faces, if you see me kind of fixated on you, it's not because I'm weirding out or anything. It's just that I'm getting a blast from the past. Because I did grow up in Kansas, and although I grew up in First Wesleyan in Wichita, from probably the very earliest days of my memory, we would make our pilgrimage to the camp meeting and conference at Meltonville, and so a lot of wonderful memories that are there. And I did pastor at Chanute, Kansas, for 4 years before we headed off to Papua New Guinea. We have the privilege of serving with Global Partners. Now, Global Partners is not an international dating service. It is the mission arm of the Wesleyan Church. And the name has been changed to kind of a generic one. So as we begin to embark into countries that having mission attached might not be the best or the wisest thing to do. And it's a delight to serve along with about 230 missionaries that are impacting 90 countries plus. And not only that, but on any given week, the ministries of Global Partners are touching at least 135,000 people. And so that's exciting to be a part of a team that is engaged in that ministry.
Well, it is a joy to be with you this morning. And we do appreciate your prayers and your support for us. Some have already said this morning to me, I pray for you. And we really do appreciate that. Thank you. I'd like to tell you a bit about our family. I was born and raised in Hammond, Indiana. I've been going to church ever since I was 2 weeks old, but at the age of 16 is when I gave my heart and life to Christ, and then when I graduated from high school, my pastor said, well, Linda, it's time for you to go to Bible college, because that's where you'll meet your husband. Well, I prayed about it, and God kept saying, wait, 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 and so for 2 years, I waited. I stayed at home, and I worked. And then as I was on a train coming from Louisiana to Chicago, God spoke clearly to me and said, it's time to go to Bible college. And so I did. I went to a Bible college in Greenfield, Indiana. And there I met this young man. And our first weekend, I think it was, he wanted me to go with him on a date to church Sunday morning. So we went to church to a revival meeting. And as we came home and he walked me to my dorm, he wanted me to know right away that he had had a missions call since he was 5 years old. And so that scared me so bad that I stopped dating him. I always thought I would be a pastor's wife or a song evangelist wife and never dreamed, thought of going overseas to do anything. But in a few months, really over Christmas break, God was speaking to me and dealing with my heart and saying Randy was the one, and so I needed to be willing to be a missionary. And so after pastoring in Chinook, Kansas for 4 years, in 1985, we went to Papua New Guinea and served there for 25 years and loved being there, loved the people, loved our ministry, loved working at the Bible College. I was working with women and children. Then God had something else for us, and we'll talk a bit more about that. I'd like to tell you about our children. We do have 4 children. They're all grown out of the nest. Our oldest daughter, Rebecca, and her husband, Steve, and their 4 children serve with Global Partners in a country in Central Asia, and we're actually going to see them tonight. They're going to be with us for a few days, so we're excited about that. Our second daughter, Rosie, and her husband, Sam, and 3 children work and live in Pasadena, California. And Rosie is the daughter that gave my husband a kidney. Some of you might remember he was born with 1 kidney, and he lost kidney function. And so in 2002, it's been 10 years, over 10 years, Rosie gave that wonderful gift. And what a blessing that has been. And we've been, as you know, as you can see, we're both healthy, and we praise God for that. Our third daughter, Regina, maybe you see her in the service this morning. What a special treat to have her with us this morning. And Regina graduated from Indiana Wesleyan University, then went to serve with Trent and Nikki Nettleton in Bosnia for a year, and then felt like God wanted her to come back to New York City and get a degree in cosmetology. And then her latest, she's been in Pasadena also, and she's working as a hairdresser. And praying about what God wants her to do, she's been feeling France. And so if God wants her to go there, that's what she's willing to do. Our fourth child is our son, Randy Jr. After he graduated from Indiana Wesleyan, he worked in Pasadena, California, doing different jobs and paid off his school loan. And then he thought he would go overseas for a year, and he is in New Zealand right now and working there and helping in a church. We praise God for his faithfulness to our children. You don't know what's going to happen. You know, our children were in boarding school at a young age and then during their high school years. And sometimes when you make those hard decisions, you don't know what's going to happen. But God has been faithful, and we praise him for that.
When we were nearing what we felt would be the conclusion of our ministry in Papua New Guinea, we had returned in 2008 actually to be what we call furlough or home ministries, or now what we call partnership development. And it was during that time that we were asked by the office if we would prayerfully consider serving as pastor to missionaries. And so as we prayed about it, we sensed that that's why God had kind of stirred up our nest in New Guinea. Please understand, we thought we would be in New Guinea, you know, as long as they needed us, and maybe even until we retired. And so it was a huge shift. And yet God is able to kind of let us know when the time is right. Exciting thing is that as we believe the national church is stepping up at new levels of maturity, we're seeing evidence of that every day when we get reports back from New Guinea. And so it's good for us to pull away and let the church really kind of move forward and trust him. But as we were asked to serve as pastor to missionaries, there were 3 areas that were offered to us. And this is within Global Partners. It's not with any other organization. But the first geographical area includes the Pacific area, which would be Australia, New Zealand, Bougainville, Papua New Guinea, and Indonesia. Actually, we were at a church service a couple of weeks ago, and John Connor was in the service, and he grabbed me at the end of the service. And he said, "You need to add Indonesia to that, because that's a part of the area." Of course, he's the area director. So we offer pastoral care to the Pacific area, which includes these fields. And then the next area would be Asia. And this would include Cambodia and India, Japan, Mongolia, Thailand, and then there's the Jaffa people, which is a part of a large country that that you would recognize in Asia. And you'll notice that that last name is kind of a pseudonym. And the third area that we offer pastoral care to is they're all pseudonyms. They're all kind of code names, so that when we refer to them in public, we're not, kind of calling anyone out and creating any problems for anyone. But that would include, of course, the Photozo people, the Karis people, the Koi people, the Noon people, and the Noon people. They're the people group that our oldest daughter and son-in-law and grandchildren are serving. And if you take a close look at those countries, all of those countries are really representative of those pseudonyms that are there, and the people that are missionaries, or M's as we call them, are serving.
We love our job. We love what God called us to Papua New Guinea, what we did there, training pastors. And now, as pastors to missionaries, we love what we do. A lot of our work that we do is through the computer. Now we have internet, so we can send emails back and forth. We check their blogs. Facebook is a big thing, especially with the younger generation. And we Skype, where we talk computer to computer, and we can, if we have cameras, we can see each other. So it's the next best thing to being there. We visit our missionaries on the fields, and once a year we attend missionary training for new missionaries. It's 3 weeks in June every year, and then we have a time where we really get to know the new ones and build a relationship, so when we write to them or call them, they know who we are.
As Linda mentioned, Missionary Training Institute is one of the highlights of each year, because that's the time when new missionary candidates come together for a training and equipping for not only the culture within Global Partners, but also really equipping them for understanding some of the things that they will experience when they go to the field. And if you're wondering how this whole thing is going with Global Partners, just 2 years ago, we had what I believe is the largest number of missionaries that were being sent out ever. And there were about 26 that were sent out. And what made it such an inspiring missionary training institute was that out of the 26, 18 were from our area. And so that increased our pastoral responsibilities considerably. Field visits are always a highlight, and I'll let Linda tell about that.
We do enjoy going to the fields. I don't think we've mentioned that we've been based in Japan for the last 2 years, but we've only been there probably 7 months because we do a lot of traveling, so we live out of suitcase, and some people ask, "Do you get tired?" Yes, sometimes we get tired. We don't get tired of visiting, but we do get tired of traveling sometimes. But we truly enjoy what we do, and when we're on the fields with our missionaries, I was just thinking of recently, our last visit was in January to Cambodia, and we have a new couple, new family there. And while the Doug and Lori were having their tutored lesson, their language lesson, at 7 o'clock in the morning. Their little two-year-old is very active, little Drew, and so we offered to babysit and take care of him. So we were playing with him and on the floor with cars and taking him outside for a walk. And those are just some of the things that we get to do as pastor, and we get to be grandma and grandpa to some of these. One of the new games that we just took was for teenage boys. We thought, what do we do for teenagers? It's kind of hard sometimes. But we took a game called Pass the Pig. So if you haven't played that, it's a lot of fun. And anyone can play it from 3 years old to 83. And so it's a lot of fun. But not only do we get to just have fun with them, we're able to just to laugh with them, to love on them, and to pray with them when we're there. Just think about as you have, when you have needs and you call your pastor and you ask them to pray for you, that's what we do. And our congregation is just about 150 adults and children. It's just spread throughout the world. Half of the world.
Another exciting thing that happens on a yearly basis would be to attend the retreats or conferences that were held. I think in the early days they called them retreats, but they have they've changed that to conferences, because they're not only a time to be renewed, but also a time to be retooled. And so once a year, the Asia Conference, the missionaries in Asia will meet together. And we're not ashamed of the fact that the last two conferences have been held in China, believe it or not. 2 hours into the interior at a lovely retreat campsite. And you see, the Chinese are okay with worship as long as it doesn't involve Chinese. And that's where the rub comes in. And so the house churches and all of that becomes a real issue. But for a group of outsiders to meet together, it makes sense to them. It's a cultural event. And but what they don't know is that we're regrouping, retooling, just to be more effective. And so it's been a delight to go to these conferences. And those aren't times where we just kind of kick back and enjoy the surroundings, at least for us. I mean, that's a part of it. But every meal, we try to spend time with each of the missionary units and listen to them, pray with them, seek to be an encouragement. And that's kind of all going on behind the scenes. This is the Turkic Arabic conference that is held on a yearly basis in Istanbul. And so this year we'll be going to Istanbul over Thanksgiving to participate in this conference. And you'll notice that there's just a lot of young people. It's exciting to know that God is raising up a generation of young people that are saying, I want to go to a place where I can make a difference. It doesn't matter if it's risky, if it means putting my life on the line, I'm willing to go and serve. And certainly that group is representative of that kind of an attitude. Well, all of them are. One of the joys, too, of traveling and visiting with missionaries is that occasionally we get to be involved in some of the local ministries that are taking place. A few years ago, were able to go to Cambodia and participate in their graduation. And it just so happened that it came at a time when I was able to speak to the new graduates at their very lovely campus and Bible Institute there in Phnom Penh, Cambodia.
We also, recently when we were in China, they work mainly with, it's a medical work, mainly with orphanages and nursing homes. And we were privileged to be able to go to a nursing home And when you think of nursing homes, sometimes you think, oh, some are not very good shape here in the States, but even the worst one you would think of is way better than something they would have here. And the people just, it's really sad. And so we just felt like whatever we could do to help, we wanted to do that. And so we went and helped with some physical therapy, just rubbing arms and hands and helping those that had had strokes. And that's one way we can show Christ's love to these people. I would say our most important role as pastor is to pray. And we do spend time praying for our missionaries. We have a set time where we pray. You can see our prayer log where we have the missionaries' names and the children's names. And we pray for them, for their families. We pray for unity on the mission team. And then we pray just as the Spirit brings them to our mind throughout the day. When we're driving in the car, sometimes here in the States, especially when we have a 12-hour drive, we spend time praying. I close my eyes and Randy keeps his open while he's driving. I hope he does. Sometimes I look over and make sure. But we just feel like that's a really important role that we can do for our missionaries, is to pray for them. And we need your prayers too. We need God's help in all of our travels. We need wisdom as we encourage our missionaries, and when they ask us to pray for certain things, sometimes something that they can't tell anyone else, they tell us, and we want to be faithful in praying for them. But we'd appreciate your prayers. We do have new prayer cards out on the table, and we'd appreciate if you'd take one and remember us in prayer.
The Blue Mosque in Istanbul reminds us of the tremendous needs that exist around the world. Someone has said if you could divide the world's population into three, and this is putting it very simply, but if you could divide it into three, one third is made up of nations that have a very clear Christian witness. It doesn't mean that everyone's Christian. It certainly doesn't mean that everyone would be followers of Christ. But they've had a clear Christian witness, and many of these would be the Western nations. And then the other third, the second third, would be those nations that are under the influence of the first. And these would be mission fields, large areas where the gospel has made inroads, maybe needs still a lot of work to be done, but certainly under the influence of the first. But then there is the final third of the world where there is virtually no Christian witness. There are very few, if any, Christians. There are no churches. There is loneliness and darkness. And it's that area that we are the most concerned, and at least within the areas that Linda and I serve as pastor to, there's a huge chunk of our missionaries that are going into that area to let the light of Jesus Christ shine. And the exciting thing is that we can all participate in that. I know that this church has a faith promise that you do on a yearly basis. And it's exciting because I see it as a way that we are involved in the same thing. I remember during the first few hours of my kidney transplant, they got me up and I was walking around. Of course, I was holding the pillow in front of me and to hold everything in. And I walked down to another hallway, but it was still in the kidney ward, to visit my daughter, Rosie, who had donated a kidney to me. And she was, when I walked into the room, she was obviously in a lot of pain. And they say maybe even more pain than the recipient. And she was sitting there trying to kind of deal with the feelings that she had and being uncomfortable. And yet she still had enough of a twinkle in her eye that when she turned to saw me come in the room, she greeted me and then she said, "Now am I your favorite daughter?" And I told her, I said, Rosie, I'm not sure that favorite is the word that I want to use, but that you certainly have a very special part to play. As a matter of fact, and I went on to say, anything that is accomplished for the kingdom from here on out, that we are able to affect eternal souls, God is going to keep a record of that, and he's going to credit your account for that. Well, it must have been a verse that I had read, but in Philippians chapter 4, verse 17, Paul said, I didn't come to you to ask for a gift, but I want you to be credited for what is accomplished. And in a very real sense, God invites us all to participate in reaching our world for Jesus Christ. Some of us will serve as pastors. Some of us will serve as the frontline ministries, on frontline ministries. Others will be faithful in prayer. Others will be giving. But all of us have a part, and God keeps excellent records. He's a great administrator in that sense. And so I encourage us to realize that we do have an important part to play. In Central Asia, bread is a very important part of the culture. As a matter of fact, bread is held almost with reverence. We had the joy when we visited our daughter and son-in-law and then other parts of Central Asia to experience the wonderful bread that they have. And you can see the bread there on the table. It's actually a very tasty bread that is cooked in a kind of an oven kiln. And it's got a smoky taste, but it's very delightful. But in Central Asia, often they will spread the tablecloth on the floor. And then they put down mats or pillows, and you sit around on pillows, and food is strategically placed on that tablecloth so that everyone is within reach of the different foods that are being offered. But amazingly, bread is placed in the center so that everyone, even though it's in the middle, it's accessible to everyone. And as our son-in-law took up a piece of bread and broke it and began to hand it around to us, I was struck by the fact that here was a country where God had placed a redemptive analogy right there in their own culture. And when they would read the words of John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 35, where Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry. Jesus is placed at the center of all that we do. And I believe that God is opening up the doors of opportunity as missionaries go to serve. And we find it particularly a great blessing to be able to bless those who are serving on the front lines, those who in very difficult situations are holding forth the bread of life to people who truly have a great hunger, spiritual hunger in their lives. Thank you for all that you do. And we pray that God will bless you, and as you set your faith promise goals, and if you feel prompted, there are many opportunities I'm sure that the church has to engage in the faith promise program. But we know that there are a group of missionaries there on the backboard and others that come to your mind as I speak about it that depend really on your generosity through time in prayer and in financial giving in order to accomplish the task that God has called them to. Thank you for this opportunity to share.
I would just like to thank you guys for coming and for sharing and just to to speak to what they just ended on, I do want to encourage you all, if you're not familiar with our faith promise, how we do that, we have a list of missionaries that our church supports, and the Freemans are some of those. And so how we do that is you give to the church, to the faith promise, and each year we ask everyone to commit to whatever you would feel God would lead you to give that year, and that's your faith promise, and you're promising in faith that I'm going to give this amount, and it's not your tithe, that's over and above your tithes, because tithes belong to the Lord, but this is something extra that we say, I'm going to give more, because God is doing work. And so, and then we take the money that is gathered for Faith Promise, and then that's divided between the various missionaries that we support, some of whom are the Freemans. And so I would just encourage you, pick up one of their prayer cards and start praying for them, or continue to pray for them. Put them on your fridge or in your Bible, wherever you see them. And just remember to pray for them. But also remember that it takes money to make these things happen. And if you would feel led to support our Faith Promise program through our church, please do that. And if you are already part of that, praise God, and let's keep giving to what God is doing. So I'm going to close in prayer, and then I think we'll be dismissed. Lord, thank you for what you're doing through the world, throughout the ministry of the Wesleyan Church, and just thank you for the opportunity to be a part of that, and the opportunity that we can, through our giving, through our prayers, through our support, that we can be a part of what you are doing, not only here, but across the globe. And God, I just thank you for the Freemans and their willingness to serve, and I just pray that you would go with them and help them as they are raising support, and just, God, that you would provide all their needs, and that you would send them back to their mission fields and to the people that they serve, and that you would continue to work in amazing ways through them. And God, I pray for us as we go, that you would help us to walk with you and help us to just honor you with every decision of our daily life. God, I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.